Hello, it is your friends David Landulli and Margaret Katzcan here with this episode of the with the Fundraising Leadership Podcast. I'm already off to a totally great beginning, right, David?
Do you remember the time when we were recording the podcast and you flubbed the intro? Oh my God. Yeah, that was the worst. It's kind
Was
of
the
like the
worst.
topic for today.
There it is. Our topic for today was born out of a LinkedIn post that I wrote this week, and it was a silly story about my son, who was wildly persistent and really did not want to drink anything other than juice at dinner. And you're welcome to read the post. It's on LinkedIn. I can even link to it in the show notes. But the point of today was kind of this inquiry. Like, as I was writing about that story, I was really looking back, and rather than it feeling like the pain in the ass, that it kind of felt like at the time, I was remembering it with so much more sweetness and so much more like, what were the gifts of that? Like, how can I look back at something that, that felt like at the time and say like, wow, he really taught me something about persistence. And then at some point, after about a year of asking for juice and the answer being no every night, like, he turned it into a joke, which was such a gift, and it became part of like our family's vernacular, with that, like, those ways that we have little jokes in our family. So we thought, I don't know, maybe today is a good day to have everybody have the prompt, like, what's something that felt really icky in the past or hard or without any gifts at the time, that maybe now, if you look back, you could find something different there.
Yeah, and this is an exercise that we use in our positive intelligence coaching program, looking for gifts and or opportunities in difficult circumstances, whether they are in the present or they're in the past, or difficult relationships in the present or in the past. If you dig long and deep enough, usually you uncover some gems or some gold in those circumstances or with those difficult people. I guess what I heard you say, Margaret, is that at some point, like reflecting back upon it as there was humor that came from that, and sweetness, you said sweetness, and but also like you can look back on it and just admire his persistence. Maybe you could admire your perseverance. I think you said in the post it was like 18 months of continuous
Literally every night for
every
18
night.
months.
So his
547 nights when I did the math on that.
547 nights of juice of saying no. By the way, I think the gift that I saw when I was reading that is that we go through these ways we sabotage ourselves in this positive intelligence program, and one of the ways many leaders in the nonprofit world sabotage themselves is by being a pleaser or having a pleaser saboteur.
That's
And
right.
that's one of your tendencies. Just saying, this is no secret. We've shared that in the podcast
I like
before.
to think of myself as a recovering pleaser these days. Thank you, David.
But back then, like you
So
were saying
true.
no, so you had the you were able to overcome your pleaser saboteur way back in the day.
That's
Yeah,
true. And
that's another gift.
if the universe was handing out, like, you know what Margaret needs? Margaret needs to say no 547 times in a row. Like, it's a pretty weak muscle right now. So let's see if we can give her like enough bicep curls of no to strengthen it a little. I love that. That's absolutely true.
Of doing this exercise is to look at what came after. I'm thinking about as we were discovering what we're going to talk about today. I've done this exercise with a lot of phases of my life, and Because you can look back on your life. Sometimes we call this like the 5 period reflection. Like you break your life down into five equal, divide by five, your years of age by five, and you look at those periods of your life, and you look for events or situations that were really very difficult or hard for you. And I've done this several times. The one period that comes up for me, even as we were talking about it today, is like my graduate school years in New York City at Columbia University at engineering. And to this day, it can be very difficult for me. That was a very difficult time for me, and it can be difficult to find the gifts that came from that. Although it led to it that experience led to my early professional life. So that's what I can say about it. There was a direct link between that educational experience, as difficult as it was, and my first couple of jobs in the corporate world. So, which allowed me to, that was the gift. Like, it allowed me to provide for my family and for myself and earn money and travel around the United States and Europe
And
and get
realize
to meet.
eventually that you didn't want to be an engineer and that there was something else
Well,
open
that's
for
it.
you.
Well, then I did realize I didn't want to be an engineer, so there was a gift there too, because just wasn't my thing. And it pointed me in the direction. That's really good, Margaret. I like that. It pointed me toward people orientation. Like, I just realized I wanted to be more people oriented, and that led me into sales, which led me into fundraising, which led me into coaching. So
And I think it comes up, doesn't it, with clients, and they're so stuck and they can't see the light shining in anywhere. There's only like losing a job, or the job is terrible and they can't quite bring themselves to leave, or a relationship that feels so icky, but they just keep holding on to it because they can't imagine what comes after. Right?
Or a relationship that was very difficult in the past, and yet the wound is still unhealed. I think many of us have those in our lives. It's not uncommon that you get into a romantic relationship or a friendship that then breaks up, and there's still some pain. And so this is actually a healing type of exercise that you can do. You can heal stuff.
Sometimes, I don't know. I mean, I know what you're talking about, like just where you touch back on the memory and it's almost like putting your hand on a bruise, right? Like it's just so tender and there's still like ouch, there's still ouch, like when you go back and you touch the memory. So what are some
Like, you can't find anything good about that situation or that
I
relationship,
wonder
right?
It, I hear you. And sometimes there's nothing good in the end of it, but that you could look back at the arc of it and find something that you learned or
And
something.
let's just put a qualification on it, because we're not talking about diving into past trauma so that you can re-traumatize yourself. That's not what this is about. So this is not what we're this is if you've had trauma, do not recommend looking for the gift or opportunity unless you're with a sort of a licensed professional, and you're doing some clinical work where you can go there in a very safe way.
I think just one of the things that's been helpful for me when I had relationships that didn't go the way that I wanted them to, or ended less by my choice than somebody else's choice, for example, is this concept, like not everybody is a forever person for us, like we get arcs with people. And that when I focus on the ending or how it ended or what I didn't get, like the bruise is always still purple. But when I look back on, like what do I get to take away from this experience? Like, what felt great with this person that I then claimed that for myself? Like, well, I want all of my friendships or all of my romantic relationships to have this quality that I had with that person, even though I don't get to still have it with that person. I get to take away the, like, right, that nuance, that piece of that relationship. Like, and I also, conversely, I'm like, and I get to say no to this other thing that happened in that relationship, right? Like, now going ahead, I understand more about what I like and don't like and don't want in relationships from this person, even though the ending sucked.
Well, I like what you're saying. I still struggle with relationships that have this arc that you talk about have come to an end, especially if they were quite satisfying relationships, and yet for some reason, whatever the, who cares, what the reason is, the relationship has petered out or dissolved, or people have moved geographically, or life happens. And so I still struggle with that a little bit in seeing the gift in that. I guess one opportunity is that it opens up space for other relationships. I think that's more theoretical for me than it is practical right now. I don't know. It's something about my sensitivity. I don't know what it is, but I feel those the tail of those kind of stay with me in a sad sort of way.
They ping something, right? Some wound in you, some like, I didn't do enough or I wasn't whatever, right?
It's just it's a it's grief is actually what it is. Yeah, it's a grieving of a loss, and so the intensity of that has long diminished, but there's still a little bit there. And Shirzad, who is sort of the creator of this, Shirzad Shamin, who's the creator of this positive intelligence program, will say that grief is one of those emotions that there will always be some tinge, no matter how many years have gone by. And so far, I experience it that way. There's still a little bit, like one dropper full of color in a clear glass of tinge like that,
As you're speaking, yes to the grief, and then also sometimes braided together with the grief, or sometimes as a parallel strand for me, especially if I haven't been in choice, or if a relationship has ended, not the way that I wanted it to go, there is a place of trigger for me, like a regression of like what it felt like to be a kid and be powerless and not have to, like not have the agency to change things or fix things or have people see things the way that you wanted to see them. And so, I mean, for me, that is actually a pretty textured thing that comes up, and maybe that's in a category of grief. I don't know for sure, but like that's the flavor sometimes that's there for me, as I have this raging, kicking and screaming, or hiding under the covers, depending. But like, like a kid version of myself that's having this giant reaction to like, I didn't get any control. Like, if they had just seen me a different way, or if they had just listened to my side of the story, or that way you tried to argue when you were a kid.
And so it sounds like some events, relationships of the past still hold, as we would say, some emotional charge or emotional energy for you that comes up again, which is, I think, well, there's a gift, and it's an opportunity to practice. That as you're saying it, if you're realizing this is good, I like this a lot. It's even for me, like with my graduate school experience, there's still quite a bit of charge around that for me. So it's an opportunity to practice, and actually, so what you and I do with clients with emotional energy is we actually encourage clients, and we're encouraging you in the audience, and we're encouraging each other here on the podcast to actually go into that, like get curious about it. Like you have to actually go into it and see what's there for you. Because I think the tendency is to just be like, so shove it down, push it aside, and move on, which can be helpful too.
Yeah,
I know I've done that for a long time.
and I think it's like honoring, what were the frustrations for you as a child, and how is this? I mean, that's one way to be curious about it. Yeah, and self-compassion is a great thing to be practicing. You
Always,
know, when
always
somebody hurts your
self-compassion.
feelings, and it's just like, ouch,
Yeah.
what
Well,
you
and if it,
practice soothing yourself, right?
well, and
Preferably
also to
without
be,
bourbon. Yeah.
without bourbon or with bourbon, I'm not a bourbon guy, so it wouldn't be, bourbon for me, but
I'm not a bourbon guy either, David.
yeah. What I like about what you're saying is the opportunity to practice self-compassion. So even if the charge is still there now, it's an opportunity to have compassion for yourself, like, oh, okay, I'm still, this still hurts. This still hurts. I'm a human being, and this still has some tail left to it that I, so may I be kind and gentle with myself during this difficult time.
Rather than like the icky self-talk that's like, God, this is ridiculous that,
Yeah.
that this like
I should be
the
over this
belief,
by now.
right? I should be over this, exactly,
Right.
which
Yeah.
many of us
Like,
go through.
how many times are you gonna have to keep playing this over again,
Yeah.
That's the unforgiving, unkind voice.
It is, but it's
Yeah.
omnipresent, a lot of the time for a lot of people.
Yeah. So I like that. It is an opportunity to practice, and so that's the invitation, is to look back on your life and see. I know this is hard. Like sometimes we just don't want to look back,
Yeah.
and if you don't do this consciously, so actually Margaret and I are talking about, stay tuned. We're talking about hosting a retreat this fall, potentially out in Colorado, where, we sort of raise the level of consciousness about who we are and what we do in the world. And this is like a, if you don't consciously practice this, then what happens is, in my experience, is it comes up. The memory that you haven't healed comes up in the most inopportune moments, where you can't really deal with it in
Right.
the moment. So I think that's also the invitation why we're off, why we are inviting you and the audience to take a look at some of these unhealed incidents and start to look and see.
Yeah.
What's there for you?
And
Yeah.
sometimes, like even in real time, that there are going to be gifts. You just can't say what they are yet. Sometimes you cannot see one single gift, and it is just solidly, in the this couldn't suck more category. But sometimes there's a way, like an example for me was applying for and not getting a job that I, that I really wanted. And at the time, it was a very difficult period afterwards for me. But I knew that there was some force at work, even though I didn't understand what it was yet. Like
Yes.
there was some momentum that, like some disruption that was about to happen, that had happened, that was going to lead somewhere. And it didn't feel good. I didn't like it. It wasn't what I wanted to have happened. But at the same time, I could feel myself like sort of riding a wave towards some unknown place at the time.
Yeah.
And so sometimes there's at
Another
least that sense.
expression, as we're having this conversation, I don't use this one that often, but now that we're talking about it, I'm going to use it more. Like when you're in the midst of something that you don't like, or that's difficult, or that's not going the way you want it to, a hopeful expression is, this is for me.
Right. This
Whatever
is
this
happening to
is,
me. This is happening
it's
to me.
not happening to me. This is for me.
Yeah.
It's happening to you in the moment, by the
Yeah.
way. You know, and
Right.
what we're
Sometimes it
saying.
helps to ask it as a question. Like, I'm guessing, like, what if you ask, what if this was happening for me
For
as
me,
opposed
yes.
to me? What might be
Yeah, that's
possible
good.
to see that's different? Yeah.
Yeah, and this is one of the distinctions. Should we retreat to Colorado in the fall that we're going to talk about, like by me, for me, and to me, those three distinctions is,
Yeah.
by me, agency, to me, victim, for me, like growth.
Yeah, seeing,
Yeah.
right? Like,
Yeah.
oof, this is a practice session, right?
Is like, yeah, you could just ask it like, okay, how is this for me? Or, what would you have me shift from to me to by me? Like, get into
Yeah.
action,
Yeah, and I might even ask the question, like, what shift might be possible in me if I could believe that this was happening for me instead of to me?
So that's a practice in the moment that you can use. And even as something in your life may be occurring and it's bringing up old stuff. So
Yeah.
it's a, you can double down and say, okay, this is for me so that I can heal that old thing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I just want to be really clear. This is not about, being told there are other fish in the sea, right? Like, this is not about devaluing that you actually have a right to your experience, that you are entitled to feel disappointed, that you are entitled to be sad, that, this isn't instead of that. This isn't trying to talk you out of the fact that something really felt sucky. It's just a way to begin to move to a new space after that.
Well, there is energy in whatever emotion you're experiencing. And, if those emotions are sort of have a above the line, as we might say in our retreat that's coming up, that would have a positive charge, or if they're below the line, if we're going to use charges like positive and negative, that some emotions sort of are not as positively charged as others, that'd be another way of saying it. But there's energy in there. So even for things like anger, frustration, sadness, grief, which we might call below the line, there's energy in there to be harvested. If you're willing to experience the emotion. So again, this is not about denying that you're ex having an emotional experience. And leap the other way. That doesn't really work. So it's about harvesting the energy that's in there for you. That's another thing that could be for you, is the energy that becomes available from the experience.
And sometimes you need that energy to catalyze you to do something different.
Oh, that could be a total. Yeah, I love that. It's a catalyst, like in a chemical reaction. You get burned up. So you
Like,
burn up that energy.
why do we experience anger? Well, usually we get angry when somebody is stepping on our toes, or somebody, including ourselves, has broken a boundary that we, had tried to hold, or
Or a value.
somebody has stepped on our toes in terms of the value, and you need the anger sometimes to catalyze a redrawing of where your boundary was, or pulling your toes out from under the other person's foot.
Yeah, I it's apropos some of our other conversations about the political environment. A lot of people are angry and frustrated with the current administration at the federal level. Now, you can sit in front of the TV and yell at it. That would be one way of releasing that energy. Although it doesn't seem to be all that effective. Or you could harvest that energy and put it to some other, use in terms of
Right.
getting into
Some
action.
action or some counter, right? Like voice or something that you could do something.
But I will say, generally speaking, as someone who has experienced and expressed his fair share of anger over the years,
You've yelled at the TV, is that what you're telling us, David?
oh yes, and other people. I mean, this was not very skillful at all, and not something I'm very proud of, but something that I've made like vast improvements in that I can sort of harvest that energy now in a much more skillful way. Not always completely skillful yet, but I was out with Lily and my wife, and we went out to like a fundraiser that was her one of her co-teachers in her school. Her husband's an ED here in Southwest Florida of a conservancy, nonprofit, and I had my intuition like, oh, this thing's going to be loud and noisy, because it was at like a brew pub, and I had that intuition. Then I was like, yeah, but Lillian really wants to go, so okay, I'm going to go. And I don't really like loud and noisy places, as many of you in the audience know. So I got in there and I was like, whoa. I just spent 7 weeks out in Colorado in a nice, beautiful, serene environment. So I'm like, whoa. And I was about ready to just like do a 180 and walk out the door. But no, I'm gonna stay. I'm gonna stay. And anyway, some frustration and anger did come up with me, just trying to get a beer at the bar, and I just was not very skillful in that moment. So it can happen. And then I was like, "Oh, okay, I still have room to grow." That was like the gift for me. Like,
Wait,
okay,
there's a chance to practice.
there's well, and in the moment, I really wasn't skillful at all, and then the inner critic will come in and say, "Oh, well, David, you've been doing the podcast for 10 years, and you've been coaching others, and you should be more skillful by now." Except when you're not.
Except for, that's
So
not how it's working.
there is no perfection in any of this, guys. That would be another way you sabotage yourself, is like to somehow expect that you're going to be perfectly skillful at some of these things. It's That's an illusion. All
So yeah, as
right. Well,
always, if you're looking for help with any of these skills or trying to make the best of something that feels hard or felt hard, be in touch. We'd love to speak with you.
or email one of us. Our contact links are on the website for the podcast. If you're interested in this retreat, this mysterious retreat where you're going to go below the line, you're going to go above the line, you're going to learn about being a hero, a victim, a villain, then email us, and we'll send you a little questionnaire to see if you're interested. We're gathering names.
Yeah, we'll put a link to that. How about in the show notes?
Oh, we'll put a link to the questionnaire. Let's do that. Why not?
Okay.
All right,
Let me
we'll
do
have a
it.
link to the questionnaire where it'll outline what we're going to be doing and the weekend in October. And if you're interested, you just hit the little radio button bar and radio button to say, "Yeah, I'm interested in this," and put your name and email, and we'll put you on the mailing list for the retreat. All right, sounds good. That's great.
All right.
All right, well, is that it? Any more? You want to close us out, Margaret, with anything?
I don't think so. I would say just, try it at home. Now go try it. Because I always say, go try it at home, but I'm not sure exactly what to go try. Just be nice to yourselves. Try that. That's a good thing to
Try
try.
that,
Yeah, try that.
and look for the gifts in your difficult circumstances with people, whether in the past or in the present. All right, take care.